accessing telly can be quite difficult, even in 2017.
I know, and you know, at this stage where people just expect accessibility now, for better or worse, and once you get a taste of audio description, especially, it's when it isn't available to you, it's such a jar and you miss it so much.
Okay, so let's explain what we mean by this, because when we say access to TV, I mean, we kind of understand, you know, it's not like we can't find the telly in the room. That's not what we're talking about here.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like we know it's in the corner, it's that big box thing or the big, you know, rectangle flat thing or whatever. We get that. But it's actually finding out what's on the telly, as in what is on TV. Because when you go into your television, you'll see a thing called a guide. They call it the Electronic Program Guide, or the EPG, if you're a geek. And basically it lists all the channels, it lists all the programs that are on. And, you know, people often flick through that to find, you know, oh, Coronation Street's on at 7:30 tonight, or the football's on instead, oh, kind of thing. But if you can't see it, then you don't know it's there. And that is a real problem, because you don't know what's going on the TV. You just have to assume based on what you're hearing.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the EPG is so important, and not having access to it. There are two sort of sides, I always think, to when you talk about accessible TV. You have the content side, which I mentioned earlier, the audio description. But then you do have the hardware side of actually looking through the EPG, going through your settings, and, you know, obviously now with PVR and time shifting and recordings, going through your libraries and, you know, finding accessible ways to look through this is getting very difficult.
Well, one company are trying to make it better for all of us. I think that's fair to say. Mo joins us from Vitex Solutions. Hi, Mo.
Hello, Steve.
Now, you are attempting to, as I say, make things a bit better for us blind and partially sighted people who just can't access television, because you've clearly identified an area in the market here where there really needs to be some kind of accessible TV set-top box. Now, I mentioned your company name is Vitex Solutions. For those who don't know about you, first of all, tell us a bit about what you get up to, what you actually do.
Okay, so Vitex Solutions supply products and services for the visually impaired, obviously. Our main area that we started off supplying was computers, laptops and tablets at budget prices. So, for example, computers and laptops with accessibility software pre-installed start from £150 upwards, just to put people in the picture. And then we sort of expanded to supplying mobile phones, Android-based phones, Nokia phones, for people that, you know, require phones with talks, iPhones, training, technical support, that kind of thing. So we're trying to fill gaps in the markets where other companies basically fall slightly short, really. I mean, we don't sort of prioritize one product over the other. You know, for example, we don't sort of say, oh, you know, we only prioritize and train JAWS users. We train people using NVDA, Supernova Window Eyes, JAWS, yeah, whatever your screen access software is. So we don't prioritize. And one thing that came about from starting the company, we actually started servicing TVonix set-top boxes. Now, TVonix was a fantastic set-top box produced about 7 years ago by a company called TVonix, fully speech-enabled, very nice menus, very big, you know, nice big remote control with big buttons. And loads of people have these boxes because they are an IBU to sell them. But as time went on, the boxes were starting to fail, and, you know, discs were starting to fail inside the boxes. So for the past year, we've actually been servicing these boxes for quite a few of RNIB's customers. And the general feedback that we received from those customers is, why doesn't somebody produce a new set-top box? Because, yes, you know, we've got TVs from the likes of Samsung, Panasonic, Sony, but, you know, those TVs, although they include talking functions, they often fall short. For example, it might only read part of the EPG, or it might only read, you know, part of the TV's menus. You know, you go into a menu on some of the older Samsung TVs and it says, this portion is not accessible. So obviously that's not really helpful to people that are VI. Mm. And, you know, in terms of recording TV as well, you know, yeah, their argument was, well, you can plug a pen drive in to record TV programs. Well, some people don't even know what a pen drive is, you know, and even if they do plug one in, again, you know, access to those recordings is tricky via the remotes. So our aim, ultimately, is to develop a set-top box which is fully accessible, built specifically for the visually impaired from the ground up and maintained by a company that cares from the point of view of somebody visually impaired. I'm totally blind myself, you know, and I would like a solution which I could use with Freeview and possibly with other services like Freesat or Sky. I'm not sure how cooperative Sky are going to be, so I can't say too much on that at the moment. But, you know, we are looking into it. And what we basically want from people is to fill out a very short survey. You know, it's available on our website, and I'm sure we can get onto the contact details later on. Yeah. But we're basically trying to find out how much interest there is from the wider VI community regarding such a box.
I think this is interesting because it's something that Sean and I have talked about in the show umpteen times. And Sean, you've still got a TV Onyx box, don't you?
I have, yeah. Mine's still going. I do need to turn it off and on a good few times a day as it gets slower and slower. Mm. But it is so accessible. It works so well. The library, the EPG, everything about it is so accessible. And the very fact that that's the only accessible Freeview box that's available that I know of. And, it, you know, even... as you said, Mo, it's not even available anymore. That's a pretty bad state to be in, that, you know, there is no alternative at the moment, at least one that I can find.
Yeah, because we've got these companies like, as you say, Samsung and Panasonic, where we've seen some great strides towards, you know, more accessible EPGs. And, you know, however good or bad they are, it just seems to me that it seems awfully complicated for us as blind or partially sighted people just to record Coronation Street. I mean, come on. You know, it can't be that difficult.
And,
you
exactly. Know, it's the 21st century, yeah. Steve. You know, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? Because, you know, it's almost like these companies are saying, well, we've made provision for accessibility. You know, we've made the TV talk. So because we've ticked that box, we don't need to take it any further. And when you contact their customer service teams, they're a bit vague. You know, it's, oh, we're not too sure who you can contact to provide feedback, or, yeah, we'll get around to it in the next software update, but it's not a major priority. And, you know, it's like VI people are getting a raw deal in that sense. You know, we just get shoved to the bottom of the pile. pretty disgraceful, really.
It's very true.
Age.
Okay, so can't you just rip apart an old TV Onyx box, figure out what it was made of, and make another one?
Yeah, that's what we're essentially trying to do. Part of the issue that we're experiencing is intellectual property. So the RNIB actually bought intellectual property rights to the box.
Right,
I'm not going to go into too many legal details, but, you know, we can't really reuse the TV Onyx brand for legal reasons. Yeah. It may also be that we have to possibly rebrand our own company, you know, to actually sell the TV Onyx successfully, because Vitek is quite a common name, really. So it may be that your customers start seeing a rebranding in the coming months, really, to, you know, to rebrand the company. We're thinking about calling ourselves Tyra Technology. Tyra is an acronym. We've not figured out what it stands for yet, you know, in terms of inspirational words. But you know,
but it's definitely an acronym.
That was actually a good name. Actually, it was actually a quite funny the way it came about, really, because my mum's a fantastic lady, and she's called Tyra. She was the inspiration behind the company as well, in a way. Basically, that when we were trying to find out names that we could use for the box, you know, Vitek, they said, look, there are companies in the UK. Vitek is actually a camera company, so you're treading on thin ice. You know, if you call your box something similar to Vitek, they might come and say, you're producing a visual product like us, you know, and then you've got legal battles. So Tyra Technology isn't being used for anything at the moment by anybody. So we had to try and find a unique name, but yeah, it may be that you'll see a rebranding, but that's beside the point. At the moment, we want to try and see, you know, grab as many figures as possible from people, because obviously the more people that fill out our survey, the better, because then we can justify to manufacturers and say, look, you know, we've got 2,000 people interested in this. You know, can we please get on with production, you know, as opposed to, you know, fighting our corner as VI people.
Okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second here, because, you know, and we all know that, you know, I think this is a great idea, but I have to play devil's advocate. And I guess the question is, if the TV Onyx box wasn't successful, if blind people either weren't buying it or it wasn't as available as it could be for whatever reason, you know, how do you know that this will be a success? How do you know this is even something that blind people want?
Well, put it this way, we actually managed to get stock of TV Onyx boxes, and they sold within a week. People are contacting us literally on a weekly basis, asking if we've got TV Onyx boxes in stock, because they're getting fed up with the amount of TVs that are actually inaccessible. They're buying new TVs. Somebody contacted us a few weeks ago and said, I've just spent nearly £1,000 on a television and it's not reading out options to me. Why is this? And I said, well, because Samsung haven't made the effort, you know. And also, these boxes aren't just going to be for TV, you know, for audio described TV and recording TV. We're actually going to start incorporating modern catch-up services into the TV. You know, why should visually impaired people be left out in the cold when it comes to going on Netflix or Amazon or BBC iPlayer or 4OD? Sighted people can buy a set-top box off the high street and go onto all these services, and there's no restriction for them. So that could be a selling point.
Okay. I mean, obviously, it's something that you want people to get in touch with and share their views. And that's what's really interesting about this. You know, you're not just going ahead and making it. You're actually asking people, right, what do you want? I mean, tell us a bit about this survey. What do you intend to get from it? Is it a question and answer, or is it just tell us your views? How does it work?
Okay, the way it works is the initial survey allows you to register your interest. So what we're asking people to do at this stage is say, look, would you like to buy the box? You know, so a yes or no answer. And once you've, if you tick yes, then there's an option to fill in your email address and telephone number. What we're going to do is send out a mass email to people with a second survey in a few months' time, once manufacturers are in place and that kind of thing, to say, what do you actually want from this box? And that will be a much longer survey, but that is an opportunity for visually impaired people to actually say what they want. There might be a feature that we've not even thought of that somebody comes up with. And, you know, in the past, when companies develop products, we see this an awful lot now in the VI world, in my opinion. Companies develop a product. For example, it could be a mobile phone with a keypad. They develop the product. It's released. And when it gets into the hands of VI people, it doesn't read out, for example, letters that you've typed when you delete them, you know, and stuff like that. And the phones just fall short. And people haven't been asked what they want from that phone. They haven't been asked, oh, do you want to go on the internet with it? Do you want a camera? You know, it's just a product that's been churned out without any market research or minimal market research. And that's it. You know, we want to try and involve people more because it saves us time as well in the long run.
Well, absolutely. You don't want to make a product no one's going to buy. I mean, that would be ridiculous. But one thing I'm interested in, though, is that, as we all know, the majority of people who are blind or partially sighted often lose their sight later in life, so they are older age. Is there a chance that the people who you're trying to get to ask, you know, are you interested in this, you know, you might not be able to get to those people who are actually screaming out possibly at the radio right now saying, yes, this is exactly what I want, but I've got no ability to get online to tell you about it?
Yes, definitely. I mean, what we're encouraging people to do is use our contact details. So we actually have a telephone helpline as well as a website. So ring us up. Don't think just because you can't go online, you can't fill this out. Give us a ring and we'll gladly fill out the survey on your behalf over the phone, you know, because we can register your interest that way. And then if, for example, you want us to involve you in development, we can give you a call when the time comes and say, you know, what do you actually want to see? What do you want it to do?
Okay, all sounds good. Tell us the contact details then and how people can A, get in touch with you by phone, for example, or get in touch on and fill out the survey online.
Okay, you can give us a call on 0343-289-7501. That's 0343-289-7501, and that's a local rate call number, so you won't get charged any extra by your phone provider, but I would urge people to double-check their call charges anyway. Mm. Or you can get in touch with us by going to www.vits.org.uk. So V for Victor, I for India, T for Tango, S for Sierra, .org.uk. And the link is actually on the homepage under the heading, We Need Your Help.
Brilliant. Mo from Vitech Solutions. Good luck with it, and we'll check in with you in a few months, see how it's going.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.